Hi, I'm Lori Lynn, a wife to my cowboy, a mama to some great kids, and a couple golden retrievers, a creative artist and certified interior designer who also owns a heart-centered design biz, a country gal and podcaster with a strong Minnesota accent. Pull up a chair, grab a hot coffee or a hot tea, and let's have a warm and cozy conversation. Welcome to Country Proud Living, episode 15, interview with Steve Uter, partner owner at Maryville Farm. He's also my husband, and I call him Cowboy. If you follow me on Instagram at all, you'll know this. He's been in business over 30 years with his brother, Bill. They bought the farm from their dad about that time, and the business and farm has been in existence many, many years before that. But he also has an educational background. He went to the University of Minnesota and graduated with the Bachelor of Agriculture Business Administration. And he's in charge of many key functional areas along with his brother, Bill, all operating, managing, financial, and expansion on the farm. And he wears many, many hats. He is part electrician, part builder. He's working on trades on the financial markets. He's hauling cattle. He is doing lots of different things every day, and he gets up very early every day, even on his day off, as you'll hear. And he is the hardest working man I know. That is for sure. Yeah, and I'm very proud of him. He has done a lot to improve the farm with technology, along with his brother Bill. And, you know, they're constantly trying to make it a better place for their animals and cattle to be the best that they can be. And I really salute the farmer. Without them, I don't know where we'd be. So here I give you my husband, Steve. Thought people might find it interesting to learn a little bit more about the dairy farm. So Steve is going to start out kind of telling us a little bit about it. Welcome, honey.
Hello.
Steve.
Yeah, it's a dairy farm.
Yes,
so we milk cows.
Yeah.
We have about 350 milk cows and 350 young stock. And we milk with robots and in a herringbone parlor.
Right.
So 260 or give or take are milked in the robots. 4 DeLaval robots, and then we milk about 50 in a parlor yet.
Sure.
And then along with another 40 dry cows.
Okay. And the dry cows are like on vacation, correct?
They have a 60-day period where they just get a break before they have their next calf. We call that the next lactation.
Sure.
So when they have the start of their lactation is when they have a calf.
Sure.
And the end of their lactation is when they quit milking. And then for the next 60 days, they are dry and just resting and getting exercise and recuperating for their next calf.
Sure. When did you put the robots in?
October of 2020.
Sure.
So we're at 3.5 years.
Okay. And what made you want to go that direction?
Labor's a problem. Labor's sure. Hard to get people to milk cows in a parlor, especially with our proximity to Minneapolis. Competition for higher paying jobs. And
sure. That makes
such
sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you do in the farm or in the barn to give the cows the most comfort?
Yeah, so most of the day is just taking care, all of the day really is taking care of the cows. They eat, you know, probably 100 pounds a day each.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about that many cows, it's a lot of food that they go through. So we raise crops. We raise about 250 acres of corn for silage and 250 acres of hay. And then in addition to that, we do purchase about 40,000 bushels of corn each year.
Each year. Okay.
So it takes a lot of feed. So there's a lot of energy that goes into making that feed and mixing that feed and delivering that feed to all these mouths every day.
Sure, sure.
And along with that is a lot of manure, which we use for fertilizer.
Sure.
It's pumped back onto our land and injected into the soil twice a year. But day-to-day operations are mainly taking care of the cows themselves as far as making sure they're healthy and clean and bedded and dry and a lot of calves to feed. Milking, we still milk 50 in our parlor, so that does take a couple hours a day.
Sure.
Reproduction is a major part of a dairy farm, so all the cows are artificially inseminated. There's many different companies that we buy semen from, and we breed about a third of our cows to beef sires, so that we get a half beef calf, which is raised for meat, and then a third of them are bred to gender selected semen to get heifer calves. So there's, and then the others are mostly Holstein conventional semen. So I'll get half and half heifers and bulls out of those.
Okay. All right. Well, so what are some of the things in the actual barn, freestall barn, that the cows?
Yeah. So enjoy? The cows live in one big freestall barn, which a freestall is like an individual little spot that they all live. They share spots. They don't all go to the same spot in the barn, but it's about a 4x9 area that they lay down on. And when they lay in those, they're on water beds. So they're laying on about 14 gallons of water. And on top of that, we have straw and calcium or limestone mixture.
And what is that part, the limestone, help with?
So that's designed to, or the purpose of the limestone is because it's organic, it doesn't grow bacteria. So okay. We're trying to reduce bacterial growth as much as we can, particularly when the summer months come and you get a lot of humidity and heat.
Sure.
Yeah. So we're just trying to keep them as healthy, the udders healthy and clean, as well as the cow. So that's all helps with that.
Okay.
And then also they have cow brushes that they can groom themselves with anytime they want.
So it's like a spa for them.
Yeah. We try to do the best we can. Then they also have, we have fans in that barn that they're low velocity, high volume fans that keep the air moving very well in there too, to keep them cool in the summer and keep the air not getting stale in the wintertime.
Sure. And they're big fans.
Yeah. They're 24 feet diameter.
And there's how many?
There's seven of them in there, spaced evenly around.
Yeah. That's pretty big barn.
Yeah. So
cool. You put in some new equipment this past year. What was that about?
Oh, yeah. Along with the four robots that milk the cows, there's a bedding robot that travels around the barn and puts bedding in each stall for us automatically. And that's been a big help as far as a labor saver and time saver.
Sure. And so, it comes from the top, right?
Yeah. It travels on an I-beam. It's on a rail and it's suspended from posts on the barn that we built. And it's been a really nice addition to keeping things clean and keeping the cows clean and reducing labor. So it's only the second one in the States here.
Okay.
So it's a unique tool. Sure.
And you've had some tours, right, of that, to see that?
Yeah, quite a bit of interest in it so far. Sometimes the cost is prohibitive. Yeah.
That's right.
And so people are very interested in it, especially for robot barns. And it's a new thing, so there are people that do come to look at it are probably still in the hoping and planning stages of some day doing it.
Have some of the people been from that have toured the farm?
Canada. Let's see. Where was it? South America.
Yeah, was it Argentina?
Yeah. Right? Australia.
Right. Wasn't there some from England or something too? Or no?
I'm trying to remember.
But all over.
Yeah, it's been world from all over the place. So yeah, it's interesting to meet those people and get ideas from them when they when they come to the farm also.
For sure. And you've had some interest from the University of Minnesota too. Didn't you have some people this summer from Extension or something come? Like stations?
Oh, that was that last summer?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was just last
Oh, that's summer. Right. Yeah, we had an extension tour.
Yeah,
from the University of Minnesota, where there was probably close to 100 people that showed up for that
day on the farm or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, just an extension tour of people that wanted to see the way we have the barn designed and the robotic milkers and robotic bedding system.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people have been through the barn. And then De La Valle, who is the manufacturer of the robots, they have people coming regularly too to see.
Different people
at farms. Yeah, they bring other farmers to the farm to to see things.
So inside the barn, when they're able to roam like at their will and leisure, basically in the freestall barn, where they sleep. They have the water beds.
Yep. And then
the brushes.
Yep. And then they have access to feed whenever they want. So there's always feed. Okay. And that's another little machine that we have is it's called a feed pusher. Mm-hmm. And it'll keep pushing fresh feed up to the cows on its own. You know, it's on like a, it's got its own little computer so we can program it as to how often it goes and how much it pushes and things like that. So that's really a nice time saver, and the return on investment on that is very high.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is good. And
because it's very important to keep feed in front of the cows at all times.
Right.
So.
And it puts some treats out on it in the middle of the night to encourage them to eat.
Yeah, whole system works together to keep the cows flowing so they don't all eat at once. If there's always feed there, they're taking turns eating, they're taking turns laying down, they're taking turns getting milked. So it reduces the stress of the cow doing things she doesn't want to do or being in a crowd of cows.
Sure.
So they're basically on their own schedule and do what they want during the day.
Which is great because when they
have... Kind of like me.
Yeah, you're right. With the parlor, they had to be milked at the same time, two times a day, whether they were wanting to or not, so to speak. Now they can go when they want.
Yeah.
You know,
correct. That's the major benefit of the robots is you're not forcing cows to do things they don't want to do when they don't want to do them.
Yeah, they do them when they choose, which is really a nice thing. Happy cows makes everybody happy. Yeah. Farmers and cowboys too. Yeah. So what time do you usually wake up every morning?
3:30.
And on your day off, what time do you wake up?
6 today.
which to most people would not be a day off.
I don't know.
Because you still do chores those days.
Yeah, right? Sunday's kind of a partial, just a really short day.
Sure. Yeah.
But,
But you do a lot at the farm to keep it running. I know that, you and your brother.
It does still take, even with all the technology, it takes a lot of work.
Sure.
With that many head of cattle around, there's always somebody that's either having a calf. There's probably an average of 2-3 calves, I don't know, maybe 2 a day.
Sure.
And you have to take care of that calf right away, make sure it gets enough colostrum.
Yeah.
So it starts out on a very, give it the best chance it can to be the healthiest, most productive and healthy it can throughout its life. That's basically what we do all day long, is try to make sure that these animals are healthy and can be all they can be genetic, with, you know, because the breeding behind them, they have lots of potential.
Sure.
So we have to do all we can health-wise to make sure they reach that potential.
So how old is the farm?
I think it was settled in 1877.
Yeah.
That was a loaded question. She knew the answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but, that was by my great-grandpa. Sure.
Yeah.
And then my dad took that. When did he take that
1960.
over? 1960s. Well, he might have
started before that, but he named it.
Yeah.
In 1960, I think.
Yeah.
What was the name?
Maryville Farm. Okay. And it was because of the township we're in is Marysville with the M, like Mary.
M-A-R-Y.
Yeah, M-A-R-Y. And because somebody already had that name for registered Holsteins in the Holstein herd book.
Sure.
He changed it to Mary is Merry Christmas.
Right.
Maryville Farm.
So. Which I think is the...
And Bill and I kept that name when we bought... When we bought the cows and all, slowly bought everything from him, we kept the farm name the same.
Yeah. 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 And your dad took care of calves for many years, even after he retired.
Yeah. After he quit milking cows, and he was 54 years old when he milked his last cow in 1994.
Okay.
Right in there.
Sure. Yeah.
And then he fed calves for us and did different things for us.
Sure.
Along with some other jobs that he had until he retired or couldn't do it anymore, really. He couldn't feed him anymore.
Right. If you had a chance to tell somebody who isn't from a farm what you do every day, what would you tell them?
I hope that people know that farmers are doing the best they can to take care of those animals, to make sure they're healthy and have the best lives they can while they're still here.
Right.
Because the animal has to be healthy and happy for the farmers to make money. So that's what farmers do, is they take care of their animals to their best ability.
Right.
And I want to talk about some of the myths out there for a second. And that when we take a calf from a mother, I hear this a lot because we have a lot of visitors like we talked about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a lot of farmers, but sometimes there's, like, for instance, we had a tour of RV people last summer that my mom set up, and it was like retired RV people that showed up. 20 people showed up and
at the farm, yeah.
And they were asking all kinds of interesting questions. And one of the questions that always comes up is that, why do you take the calf away from the mother? And the reason for that is that we're trying to get as much colostrum into that calf as fast and early as we can. And it's for the calf's own good. And the calf gains such immunity, such protection from disease, from that colostrum, that it just makes such a huge difference for that calf in its life. If we don't do that, you can just see what happens to these animals. They just have a hard time fighting disease because they are with other animals so often. So we're doing these calves a favor by taking them away and really making them drink the adequate amounts of colostrum in the first 8 hours for sure, even sooner if possible, of their life. And I've taken away thousands and thousands of calves from their mothers, and I can go into the pen and take the calf away. And the mother will look at me like, you got it? And I'll look at the cow, yeah, I got it. And then within the time I get her out of the calf, out of the pen, the mother went up and she's eating. And she's eating and she's taking care of herself. And she's happy. She knows that we're going to take care of the calf. The mother has never showed us any signs of being mad or so. That's
anything, yeah.
That's something that I wish people knew.
Right.
And the other thing that this is on the other end of it, when a dairy cow is done with her productive life, we don't dig a hole and bury them. They're worth thousands and thousands of dollars. Actually, right now, they're really worth probably as much as they've ever been in my career. So those cows are worth around $2,000 when we're done with their dairy production life. Mm-hmm. And then they go to the meat supply. Mm-hmm. So that could be anywhere. That could be in your ground beef at the local grocery store. Anything that's using ground beef.
Yeah.
That's something that a lot of people don't
realize.
Yeah.
But it makes sense when you really think about it. Because how could you?
The residual value is just a tremendous amount.
Right.
The cow's life. We try to get them to live as long as they can. That's our goal.
Yeah.
Is lengthen that life out. The longer they live, the more money we make.
Right. And the happier they are, the more money you make
too. Yeah. So.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that people don't really think about or know much about. They don't come from a farm.
And a dairy cow actually produces very good meat. Mm-hmm. Because you're not taking away the steaks that are in that cow. The whole cow is getting ground into ground beef.
Right.
So you're getting very good cuts of meat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have that meat for ourselves when the time comes and we need food at the farm for all of us. We enjoy that and it's excellent too. Way better than
what you're not when you go to McDonald's, you're not eating an Angus steer. I'll tell you. That is cuts. Those are going for steaks and upper end cuts at any of your burger shops. You're eating dairy cow ground beef.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
So keep eating burgers.
Right. Exactly.
Then do you want to know where the milk goes?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
So our milk goes to Land O'Lakes currently. Mm-hmm. Been going there for about 20 years or longer, 20 So sometimes it goes for fluid milk. It goes down to the Twin Cities and is bottled. And sometimes, most of the time, it goes for cheese. It goes to Melrose, Minnesota. There's a cheese plant there and is made into cheese.
Okay.
And that's what most of the milk in the upper Midwest is made into cheese.
Okay.
Cheese consumption continues to rise every year. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but I think it's somewhere around 25 pounds per person in the United States.
Wow, that's high, but I believe it because we eat tons of cheese.
Yeah, and don't quote me on that number, but it's close. And the other thing that's happening in the dairy industry is the butter consumption is rising.
Sure.
And butter, Lori and I talk about this all the time, how like our parents' generation or older, they thought butter was bad for you. Grandparents. And now the generation, like our kids, like the 20-year-olds, they all know that it's good for you. So butter consumption continues to rise every year, and that's why you're seeing a little bit higher prices of butter the last year or two.
Mm-hmm. Well, butter's all I use to bake and cook. It just makes no sense to use anything else. So
I used to watch my dad take a stick of butter and cut off a pad and just eat it by itself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on a regular basis.
Oh, funny. Well, it is pretty delicious. Yeah, and that's all your mom uses to bake with and your sister and everybody we know.
So Land O'Lakes makes butter, but not at the plant we sell our milk to.
Okay,
they make a lot of butter, lots and lots of butter. Most of it's in California and I believe in the East Coast.
Right. Well, and when we've traveled, we often ask the taxi driver or whoever it is, or Uber, we'll ask them where they buy their butter.
What do you guys do? Yeah. Oh, dairy farmers. Oh, where do you ship your milk? Land O'Lakes. Oh, that's the only butter I ever
Right. And that's what they
are. Why are you paying $2 more per pound? But thanks.
But thanks. But it is, but speaking of that, it is higher quality.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, like
I've never cooked.
Oh, but when you think about what the quality of your milk.
Yeah.
Is a higher quality. Yeah, Land O'Lakes
is pretty strict on quality, and we do the best we can, and usually are on the top of their quality list.
For sure.
Yeah, they do take pride in their quality, there's no question.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Well, thank you, Steve. My cowboy, thank you for your interview today, and anything else you want to add? No?
I think that wraps it up.
Okay. But if anybody has any questions, just let me know. I can ask the cowboy and we can get back to you. I'll probably, on my Instagram stories, have some of the information that we were talking about so you can see it. Like some of the farm. I have a lot of video and pictures of the farm, so I can show some of those things that we were talking about today. All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks for being here today. Have a great day. Bye. Please follow the podcast by clicking plus follow at the upper right. And if you click the three little dots at the top right, there's also a drop-down menu to copy the link or share show to share with your friends and family. Most importantly, please leave me a review. If you scroll to the bottom of the episodes, you'll see a rating with stars and a write a review prompt. This is truly one of the only ways to help my podcast grow, and it would mean so much to me. Thank you. Love and light, Lori Lynn.